It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Today is a special day, unbeknownst to Nathan Forlina. It was actually yesterday, but I didn't want to do it yesterday because I was on the road, on the side of the interstate coming up from Arkansas, where I did the show. That's why you lost me there for a couple seconds. I pulled off to the side of the interstate. So,
well, Corey texted me. I think the text was good. 359 says, I'll do the intro. And it didn't come through till 4:03. So I was like, I don't know what we're doing here.
We talked over each other. Today, this is yesterday. We're going to make it today. 17th year anniversary of the show.
Congratulations, Corey. Congratulations.
January 5th, 2009 was the official first day for Sports Central. Now, I'd already been doing some shows before then because what happened was Rob Egan, who came here as the Curb broadcaster in 99, did that for 4 or 5 years. Then he went to work for the Altoona Catholic Diocese for a few years when Chuck Greenberg had owned the team. But then Rob Egan came back to be the general manager of the Altoona Curve. So when Chuck Greenberg sold the team back to Bob Lozenak and Todd Parnell left after the 2008 season, Rob Egan then stepped in to become the general manager, starting with the 2009 season. So Rob was hosting this show starting in 2005. So he did 3.5 years. It was called Front and Center, and basically laid the foundation, the format for what we were going to do on the show. Talk, you know, a lot of Steelers, Pirates, Penguins, Penn State, and not a lot of high school. This is something that Rob Egan started, and I would talk to Rob back in the day about this. Why don't you talk about many high schools? And he said exactly this. If you talk a lot about one high school, people listening in other area school districts don't care. And so no matter how many people there might be listening that want to hear about Altoona, believe me, BG and Hollidaysburg and Central and Tyrone, they don't care at all. they just don't care. So what happens, and if I talk about Tyrone, nobody else will care unless you're in Tyrone. So what happens in daily sports radio is you have to kind of keep it as general as possible. So he made the calculation starting in 05, you know, to kind of go about this format. And then when I started doing it, he left, and I was doing some at the end of 08, leading into Penn State's bowl game that year. That was a Rose Bowl. So, but then January 5th, 2009, that was the very first official day of the show, and we've had a good time on the show. I didn't even set it up this way, but the guy who's been with me the longest, Rob in Bedford, was I'm sure listening way back then and has been in there. But can you believe it's been 17 years, man?
You talking to me?
Yeah,
I can't believe it.
Can you believe it's been 17 years?
I had hair then. I got out of bed faster. I was a whole different phase in my life. And you're still rolling, brother. I'm proud of you.
Nathan was 4 years old.
Yeah.
Were you listening to the radio at 4 years old?
That is the perspective right there.
No, I was not listening. back in the day, I wasn't tuning in to Sports Central with Corey Geiger on January 5th, 2009.
You know how they always do things like, this is gas price on this day or this year. So what was Nathan Forlina's favorite little kid TV show?
Oh, I'm sure it's SpongeBob
on January 5th.
SpongeBob
at 4 years old?
It's got to be SpongeBob. So I'm gonna. You just said that. I'm gonna look up some January 5th, 2009 things to put stuff into perspective.
But so for you, do you remember what movie you might have been watching?
Movie
as a little kid.
You know what else happened?
Say that again, Rob.
You know what else? You know what happened in 2009? I mean, this kind of segues into what we're going to talk about. But That's the year Chip Kelly came to Oregon and the Ducks became a power. And from then on.
The segue. Good,
hey,
good.
Oregon might win the whole thing. Well, so do you remember, Nathan, what you might have been enjoying, like a movie or anything as a little kid? Like, my kids were watching a lot of Moana at that age, that kind of stuff.
You know what? I don't remember what I would have been.
We need Nathan's mom or dad or somebody in the family to text what Nathan would have been doing at four years old.
Shoot me a text. I mean, there was like Bob the Builder back in the day. Like, I remember a lot of like the TV shows.
Bob the Builder was good. My kids grew up watching Curious George.
Curious George is always a banger. The Man in the Yellow Hat. Love that guy.
Love Curious George. And Daniel Tiger. All right, Rob, I'll let you talk about Oregon. I said it for a while. I could not believe Indiana went up to beat Oregon in Oregon. And right now, I think that seems
to be your takeaway, yes.
Yeah, right now, Indiana looks to me like the best team in the country, and I think their defense is just incredible. So how's Oregon going to handle that?
I'm going to call Thursday, and I'll preview that game then. But today, I want to bash in last week's win. I mean, we can't gloss over that. That was their defense led, 31 points against James Madison, and they got buried for it. Their 51 that they dropped kind of got forgotten about, and their defense got called out. They were up 41-13. They kind of quit playing. I hate that crap, but it happens. Man, did they show up. We're not going to gloss over that Texas Tech was second in the country in points per game, 42.5. And I don't want to hear, they play. We can pick through every schedule and nitpick and find games. But a body of work, 12, 13 games, you didn't get there cheap. They were fifth in the country in yards per game, 480. Baron Morton, the quarterback for Texas Tech, he never had a moment to get comfortable. They made life hell for him. Excuse me, Mateo Uiagalelei had a turnover. Brandon Finney, I've mentioned that name. He might be the best cornerback in the country.
He was insane that game.
Yeah, two interceptions, one in the end zone, a fumble recovery that Uiagalelei forced. It was right in front of Texas Tech's end zone. One mistake made by Dante Moore, but other than that, he played a clean game. Now, big news. This is a problem. Jordan Davison got rolled out today. He has a broken clavicle. He has 15 rushing touchdowns. True freshman, 6'2", 235. He's a barrel. He's kind of like a Bettis, smaller version. That's a problem. So Noah Whittington and Jaden Lamar, De'Aaron Hill Jr., those guys are going to get a lot more touches. But, yeah, I couldn't have been happier. 23-0. A week after you allow 31 to a team that has zero business playing in any of those games. It was fun, man. I like what they're doing. This team's better than last year's team that went undefeated.
All right.
Oregon's the only team. Hold on one. Oregon's the only team in the last 3 years to win 12 games. They're no joke.
Oregon can win it all. We're going to talk about that as the week goes on. So call back in. I want to hear your thoughts. Yeah. Oregon absolutely can win it all. Thanks,
I'll be perfectly honest, Rob. I thought Texas Tech was going to beat Oregon.
Really?
That was so impressive. Because I thought Texas Tech.
That league is so bad.
In which Texas Tech's defense played very, very well. You got to remember.
That league is so bad.
There was, you had to start going for it.
Honestly take Texas Tech seriously in that league? Seriously.
Yes.
I mean, that league was terrible.
Yes, they rolled through everybody.
Okay, so right. They rolled through everybody.
They had athletes, and their defense was flying around. Yeah. And they did play. Their defense played extremely well against Oregon until the very end right there.
Their defense played well.
But their offense was so inefficient that it was laughable, and they couldn't get anything going.
Oh, no, but hey, give Oregon a lot. And, when Oregon plays Indiana here, that's going to be a good. It's not like Indiana's got a great offense. Indiana's got a good offense, and they've got a lot of veteran players. And
I think Indiana's got a really, really good offense. I mean,
you think so?
You got the Heisman winner at quarterback, and these receivers are
making. He didn't have 3,000 yards passing.
He didn't have to, though, because they played a game in which they did not have to. They can run the ball.
Sure.
Up front, they are dominant up front. I mean, their entire offensive line got the award for the offensive MVP at the Rose Bowl. I mean,
I had to come up with the greatest offenses of the last 30 years for legitimate national championship caliber teams, Indiana would be either the last or next to last or one of the – LSU had a couple of years where they really struggled. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about comparatively nationally. Indiana doesn't do a whole lot of things that are going to scare you offensively.
No, they don't. No, they're not the fastest team out there, but they're just so methodical in the way that they just move the ball. It feels like they're not ever shooting themselves in the foot. So you got to go out and you got to beat them because they're not going to beat themselves.
We have, by the way, I wanted to mention this at the beginning. We have a black and gold breakdown coming up at 5 o'clock. So we'll Kreider, Bortner will be in here. We'll recap the crazy win over the Ravens and how the Steelers match up against the Texans. I'm not going to get into that a lot today. We did a lot of Steelers yesterday, and we'll talk Steelers on Black and Gold, and we'll talk Steelers a good bit throughout the rest of the week. Okay, in line with this being the anniversary of the show.
Okay.
I want to say that I'm not sure how much longer I want to do this show. And that's kind of the bombshell that I wanted to talk about today. We're not going off the air, not anytime soon, not for maybe we'll go another year, maybe I don't know, but I do have a legitimate reason for it. And you and I will disagree with this. We will disagree on this, I'm sure wholeheartedly we will disagree. But I've thought a lot about this, and here's where I'm coming from when it comes to college football. The bulk of what we do on this show is college football. Do you agree with that?
Yes, correct.
I mean, we're probably 70-75% of this show is college football. And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't even like college football anymore. I don't. I don't like the sport. And so that's the conundrum that I face right now. That I do a show every day and we spend 75% of our time talking about a sport that, quite frankly, I despise right now. I think college football is complete trash right now. I'm not talking about a team. I'm talking about the entity, the sport, the overall impact of NIL and the transfer portal. I challenge anybody out there to tell me why you like a given team. You've got one answer and one answer only, and it's the laundry. That's it. You have no other answer other than habit, because the players on these teams are gone after 1 year, and that's the part that, to be perfectly honest with you, I just can't stomach anymore. You see what I'm getting at? And we've talked a lot about this, Nathan, about, you know, this is just the way things are right mm-hmm. now, right?
Yes.
Well, how many times have you heard me say this is not the way things have ever been until the last few years? And so I feel a little bit conflicted, not a little bit, but a lot conflicted, coming in and talking about, as much as we do, a sport that I think is so broken, that is so beyond repair. I don't really see many redeemable things in college football anymore.
So I do agree. I do think college football is broken. I don't think that makes it bad. I just think there's a lot going on that just needs fixed, and there needs to be someone to step in, and there needs to be some administration that is able to sort everything out. The way I've always thought about it is, if you do transfer, go back to the old days when you got to sit out a year. I think unless your coach leaves, that gives you a legitimate reason. I think that's the only mm-hmm. way that you should be allowed to transfer and play the next year. If you take away a year of eligibility for—
That was a major deterrent.
That was a significant—yes.
That's really how it was until, again, I don't know, 6, 7 years, whatever. That's how it was. There, mm-hmm. It was a gigantic deterrent to the degree where— Folks, if you remember when Penn State got the sanctions and they allowed everybody to transfer if they wanted to, and not many people did, it was a monumental thing. That was a monumental sanction that was thought to would be to destroy Penn State football, that you would lose your entire team. And now, how many Penn State players are in the transfer portal, Nathan?
So as of right now, according to 24/7, we got 40 outgoing transfers right now for the Penn State Nittany Lions.
40. Now, they lost their coach,
mm-hmm.
but can you find a just scroll through there and tell me like how many schools are above 30, 35. Schools that maybe didn't lose their coach, that kind of thing.
It doesn't show. I got to pull up
a
difference.
Yeah, see what you can do. And so where I'm coming from is this. I've always tried to be honest coming in here and talking about fun things and things that are going on. But something's going to have to change for me to a degree. I don't think we can come in here and talk 75% college football and have this be something that I truly enjoy. Can we get away with it at 40%? Well, I hope. Because what I'm talking about with college football now, King Mac. Let me bring up King Mac. King Mac was a tremendously highly recruited player to Penn State. Came here, didn't do much of anything. Then where did he go, Nathan?
After Penn State originally, he went to Alabama.
Did he do much at Alabama?
Did not do a ton at
Played,
Alabama.
It wasn't a standout. Came back to Penn State this year, right?
Correct.
Pretty good player. Not great, great player?
He's an impact player.
He's an impact player as a starter. Then you find out a few days ago, King Mac was transferring out. Now again, the Penn State thing is because you have an outgoing coach and people felt like they, you know, love James Franklin, but there are reasons why guys leave because they like coaches and assistant coaches and things like that. But the King Mac thing, that's an example of like, where are you running to, dude? Where are you running to? What benefit is this going to have on your life? Now, look, financially, these guys are going to get their money and everything. I just think my default, though, man, is that they're a bunch of quitters, that they go someplace, they find it hard, they find it challenging, and they decide to leave. Now, look, the grass is greener. You're so young. Okay, and I'm not talking down to you because you're so young, but when you're young and all these young athletes, you tend to think that the grass is always greener on the other side. 95% of the time, it's not. It's either roughly the same or significantly worse. So we got all these young people who have been coddled and entitled and told since the sixth grade that they're the greatest thing ever. And now you come into a college situation where you stay for a year. If you don't play as much, you're gone. And then the next place you go to, you don't play as much and you're gone again. And then you're King Mac and you come back to the place that you liked. And then the coach leaves and you're gone again. And there's these guys that it's just, I loved college sports growing teams. Year after year after year after year after year, okay? You, Nathan Forlina, will never get to experience this. Do you have any idea what it was like to watch Wisconsin basketball 10 years ago with Frank Burkowski, I think it might have been the guy's name?
Frank Kaminsky?
Frank Kaminsky was the guy's name. And do you have any idea what Wisconsin basketball was like with Frank Kaminsky?
I have no idea.
Had all seniors. They had a dude on that team. I can't remember exactly, but when he was at Wisconsin, Bennett had a bunch of older guys, and I think it was Bennett. I think he may have played for Bennett, but now that maybe who was that coach? Because it's not Greg Gard. Anyway, my point was those guys stayed together for 4 years, and by the time you played Wisconsin as seniors, they're 22 years old. They've played 120 games together. They've practiced together for 4 years. That, to me, was great college basketball. College basketball, I mean, we talk a lot. We're talking football right now. I can't even watch college basketball. College basketball is a completely putrid product because there's more players in the transfer portal in college basketball than there are in football. I grew up as a Syracuse fan watching guys stay for 3 or 4 years. I mentioned Wisconsin because I just remember how the ball movement, those Frank Kaminsky, those Wisconsin teams had such unbelievable ball movement. Why do you think that is? Because they knew each other for 4 years. Mm-hmm. Now these guys come in and play for a year. I'm getting a little off topic because that's basketball. Football is the same way. You get quarterbacks coming in left and right. Guys that are going to the college football playoff and they're transferring out of teams. As I sit here as a 52-year-old man who grew up with the sport a certain way, does it surprise you or make you think I'm crazy to hear me say that these sports nowadays are unwatchable?
I wouldn't say unwatchable.
But what are you rooting for? What are you rooting for?
You're rooting for your team.
But who's your team? Your team is the laundry. My team.
Yeah, team's always been the laundry.
No, my team was a team that I could watch for 3 or 4 years together. And then a freshman comes in and joins these three seniors. And now you get to watch that freshman grow up for 4 years. And when he's a senior and you got three seniors there trying to get to the Final Four, you got two other freshmen. You got Jerry McNamara and Carmelo Anthony coming in as freshmen, trying to make an impact with a bunch of seniors. That's the sport I grew up with. That's not the sport we're watching today. We're watching a game. We're watching the same game, but the business, the sport, it's monumentally different when everybody can just pick up and leave. Now you got NBA, former NBA draft picks joining college basketball teams in the middle of the damn season. When do we rein any of this in?
Good question. I don't know. It is the wild, wild west in college football and college basketball and every single college sport now because of the transfer portal, the NIL era. And like I said, I think the NIL era is a good thing. I think it's good that people are getting paid. However, it has caused so much movement and it does water down the play significantly because you're not having this chemistry built in from these people who grow up for years, like you mentioned, the Wisconsin's team. I mean, that is true. That is 100% true. I am not denying that. However, it's still the game. There still is great players on the field. That's why I still love college football, and I think college football is the best sport in America, is because of the tradition and the uniforms, and you have players making plays. Like, there's nothing more than I love watching a guy like Trinidad Chambliss, who was a nobody, who transfers into Ole Miss and is balling out right now, and his team is in the Final Four now. There's nothing more I like than that. I think that is an incredible story, mm-hmm. and that wasn't really possible 20, 30 years
Indiana
ago.
Indiana wasn't possible. But look, they're...
Yeah, you literally got the best story, I think, right. in the history of sports.
If they win the national championship, Kurt Cignetti will have accomplished the greatest accomplishment in the history of sports.
Kurt Cignetti can retire tomorrow. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I mean, to take the losingest program in college football history, if they win the title, you're talking about the greatest coaching job that anybody has ever. Herb Brooks, Miracle on Ice. No, Indiana is a bigger underdog with Kurt Cignetti in football than the Miracle on Ice team was in 1980.
You're talking about the greatest
coaching job in the history of all sports if Indiana comes out of nowhere to win. So look, there are good stories. There are clearly good stories. I'm not going to dispute that. And there are human stories. What I'm talking about very, very specifically is what I've always liked to do is really dive in deep on what we see with Penn State, the tendencies, the players from year after year, the coaching philosophies, all of these types of things. When Lamar Jackson made the 4th-and-7 pass Sunday night to Likely, who made an incredible catch. It was a great catch.
I don't know how he didn't drop
it. But the pass was better.
Yeah. Layered it. Beautiful.
The pass was over the front defender, right in front of the back defender, Jalen Ramsey, who I think they said on the broadcast mistimed his jump. Drew Aller never made a single pass like that in college. Not one. So when you've heard me say that Drew Aller will never be a good college quarterback, that play indicates why. Drew Aller has never made that pass in college football. We got to watch him for 3 years as a starter, and he almost 95% of his passes were to guys who were completely wide open. Mm-hmm. He didn't throw two spots. He didn't throw guys wide open. And what I've always liked doing this show is we can talk about Drew Aller's progression from year after year after year after year. Did he ever make that kind of throw? Did Sean Clifford ever make that kind of throw? We get to see Ethan Grunkemeyer for 7 games, and he's gone. We get to get we're now basically Penn State has become Iowa State. I have serious concerns whether this Penn State football team is going to be any good next year, because basically you're just taking Iowa State and bringing them to the Big Ten. Is that really what you want to do? I mean, you would have got 17 players from Iowa State?
Yeah, but there are only going to be there's only going to be 5, 6, 7 of those players who are actually starters on the team.
Sure.
There's still,
I bet you
still half the team is core Penn State guys. I would bet you right now.
Well, they've already lost 70 guys, so how's that possible? They lost 40 to the portal, and they lost 30 senior. That's 70 guys.
But they're losing backups. They're not losing a ton of starters.
But my point is this, that, again, I don't want to get caught up. Well, that's a football-specific discussion. Mm-hmm. We can't have the discussions that I want to have when you're changing your damn roster every year. Those are not the discussions I want to have on a daily radio show. I don't, because it's all crapshoot. At that point, all you're talking about is getting hot for a few games, kind of a crapshoot. I look back to Micah Shrewsbury when they made the NCAA tournament. I thought Micah Shrewsbury was a bad coach at Penn State. He got hot for a month. For 1 month. That's all Micah Shrewsbury did. I'm not going to try all this all over again, but he found something that worked with Jalen Pickett and the booty ball. Because they were 5-10 in the Big Ten. And if they'd lost a couple more games, they were thought he was going to get fired. And yet, he gets hot for a month. So is that something that you can really digest and analyze for an hour a day, every day, on a radio show for 300 days? Is that something that we can analyze?
No, it's
difficult. A team that gets hot?
No, I'm not disagreeing. It's difficult.
So that's what I feel like in doing this every day. I don't want to come in here when you're changing your roster all the time and everybody else is changing. I feel like the in-depth analysis that we do, that I think I'm about as good at as anybody in this country. I don't think it exists anymore. I don't think you can do it anymore, because I have no idea if Brock Obeckton is any damn good. I have no idea. And so he's going to come in, and you're going to play these non-conference teams, and it's going to be a feeling. And so any kind of maybe built-in advantage you get from seeing players year after year after year after year after year and seeing how James Franklin worked with these, it's all gone. And basically it's just, okay, does this group of transfers work? Because what if Curtis Cignetti brings in more transfers next year and goes 6-6? I think it's possible. I think it's possible for any of these teams. And so that's what I'm really wrestling with. I'm not necessarily saying that college football from week to week wouldn't have great stories. Okay? I understand what I'm telling you there. I think that covering Penn State from week to week, 52 weeks a year, the way I do it, I'm not Steve Jones. I'm not blowing smoke up everybody's ass about how awesome everything is. The way I've covered Penn State, I don't know that I can do it anymore like that with the way things are in the business of college football.
Was Franklin's teams, if I remember correctly, did not have a ton of turnover year after year, correct?
Oh, yeah. They never lost guys to the portal. The one thing James was great at was keeping like that family unit together.
That's what I mean. This might be a one-year thing with Matt Campbell, because you do need to reset your team. This might be a thing where players aren't transferring. I would have to look back at Iowa State's portals over the last few years. I know he did the thing like Franklin did, where there's a couple guys you bring in to, you know, place and booster up a couple spots on your roster. Chase Soule being one of them that is coming to Penn State now. He's a guy who's actually transferred 4 times in his. But he had the Deion Sanders come in with Colorado, so he had a couple of things go on there. So I don't think it's the same thing as King Mack. But anyways, I mean, this might be a one-year thing with Penn State. I think Cignetti lives and dies by the portal. Lane Kiffin lived and died by the portal at Ole Miss. I think some of these schools that aren't rooted in great recruiting, you have to live and die by the portal. Like Indiana was not going to.
I'm not sure. I was thinking about this earlier. I'm not sure you should even recruit high school players anymore, like at all. Seriously. I don't understand. And I think we're getting close to that precipice. I'm not sure that recruiting, spending the amount, I mean, the volume of time that James Franklin spent on high school recruiting was astronomical. I'd venture to guess it was 10 times more than he did actually coaching football. I'm not sure. I don't think that's – why would you do that anymore? Why? If you've got the money and you can just go buy players every year, why would you spend 75% of your resources on high school kids that 50% of those are not going to be there in 2 years.
Well, if Oregon doesn't do that right now, they may not be in the semifinals with a true freshman cornerback that entirely changed the game.
It could, but then
Drew Mestemaker in Oklahoma, he might not be who he is right now out of North Texas. See, there's still value to them, and
Drew Mestemaker, then he leaves North Texas.
Well, he goes with his coach though.
Yeah, but he gets $7 million. He was a fifth string quarterback a few years ago. Now he's getting $7 million to go to Oklahoma State. For those who don't know that story, you're using that as like an example of why it's. I'm saying what everything you just said is terrible. I'm saying everything is awful that you just said.
Well, he was recruited by a guy. That's why he went with.
Yeah, right. So he's following his coach.
He might. I mean, he's from that area, so he might have stayed at North Texas if Eric Morris did not go to Oklahoma State.
And again, this has nothing to do with the way you view things, but this is all on me, and I completely respect it. It's not so I. I'm not saying this to you. I'm saying this to younger people like you. I don't even know what the F you even like about this stuff. Seriously, I get frustrated hearing people talk about how great this all is, and I'm like, this is an absolute abomination. What in the world can you people possibly enjoy about this? Honestly, that's not personally directed at you. It's just a level of frustration about where we are with the entire business.
Like I said, I think it's stories. I think parity as well, where you have so many teams competing, where you're not going to get the same 12 teams in the playoffs every year. I'd have to look back on how many teams are actually different in the playoffs this year. I bet you it's 5 or 6 though that didn't make the playoffs last year. So,
but Nathan, again, you're talking. That's all great if you're not hosting a daily short show 30-40 miles from Penn State that we talk 75% Penn State.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
Everybody, I want everybody to be clear. Hell, if we want to come in here and just talk college football around the country every day, there are good stories. Do any of you want to hear that? Absolutely not. Nobody wants to hear, with all due respect to Rob, nobody here wants to hear about Oregon. Nobody. Not a single person wants to hear about Oregon. Nobody here wants to hear about Oklahoma State. Nobody here wants to hear about Florida. Nobody here wants to hear about Florida State or Texas. So for this bread and butter market, and I look at, you know, with what's happened with Penn State and all the changes, and I do think Matt Campbell was a good hire and will be successful. But to what end? To what end are you successful if you have to go this route of bringing in 30 transfer portal guys every year? That's not something I want to discuss. Don't get me wrong. I know that's the way it goes, but keep in mind what I'm telling you. Do I want to talk about that for an hour every day?
I understand what you're saying, but I'm saying this might be a one-year thing with Matt Campbell. I'm not saying nationwide. I'm saying
they're going to need another quarterback next year. Where's next year's quarterback?
Next year's quarterback is already here.
Says who?
Iowa State's backup quarterback. That's who he was going to breed after Rocco Beck.
What's his name?
Oh, man, what is
it? So they brought him. So he's already committed as well?
He's already committed. I got to look up his name. I forget who he is, but he committed. He's already kind of being molded.
We're going to take a call here. I've had several people waiting online. We're going to caller number 2, and then we got to take a break, and then we'll get to Guy and Clarkster. Caller number 2, any of this stuff I'm saying makes sense to you, man?
It all makes sense, but I have one word for both of you that is going to give you hope and is going to keep you on the air for 10 years or 20 years. You ready?
Money?
Curling.
That's good.
I was about to say lottery? lottery would be a good word.
Let's do an hour show every day on curling. You think we can do that, Corey?
You
would love it. You would love
unblemished.
It.
It's unblemished. It's clean. There's no agents. Hey, I'm going to the International Curling Committee annual meeting in Amsterdam on January 23rd. If you guys want to go, I can get you a ticket.
In Amsterdam.
Amsterdam.
You know what's legal in Amsterdam. You better be careful.
There's a lot of strange stuff, but I might not even go to the meeting.
That's good.
No, on a serious note, you guys know I'm an Ohio State fan, and it's so amazing. I was talking to my brother last night, and we said, do we even want to watch football anymore? And Ohio State's at the top of the heap. Jeremiah Smith, the rumor is he might go to Florida or Miami, and they're throwing big money at him. So I guess Dave's got to talk to Jeremiah's agent and beg him to stay. You got to re-recruit your own players every year.
I'm just sitting here shaking my head at that. You're talking about the best receiver in the country. People talk about Jeremiah Smith as one of the best receiving prospects in the history of the game, like putting him on a pedestal that he's already in the Hall of Fame, and he's going to leave the best college football program in the country that just won a national championship last year, and he's going to leave. Nathan, you explain any of that to me. What makes that a respectable part of the sport?
Doesn't make it respectable. All I know, he is a Florida kid, though. That's all I know.
Okay.
So. Yeah. And his wide receiver coach that recruited him is gone now. So I guess that maybe makes a little bit of sense, but
sure.
Not condoning it.
Yeah. Yeah. That was Hartline, who mm-hmm. got hired by
USF.
Yeah, USF.
He won't go to USF, but but in the area, you know.
All right, anything else, caller number two?
I'm totally agreeing with you guys, so take it from there with the rest of the callers.
Yeah, okay, thank you, buddy.
And Alex Mansky, by the way, is the name of the quarterback.
I mentioned Wisconsin, but it was Bo Ryan was their coach with Frank Kaminsky. I knew when I said that I was way off.
Were you expecting that Kaminsky pull out of me? You're expecting
that was good. What did I say? Brikowski. That's like a basketball player from way long ago. Now I got to look at their.
I try to think who else was on that team. That
roster. Said. Yeah. Oh, that's because that Wisconsin team was fantastic. They had roster. Jordan Smith, Nigel Hayes was the really good player. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about Jordan Hill, Frank Kaminsky, Ethan Happ. That was when he was younger. He ended up having a great – Bronson Koenig was on that team. Man, that was a hell of a team. All right, anyway, we'll take a break and take some more of your phone calls after this.
If you're one of the millions of Americans behind on your taxes, if you're afraid to open your mail because IRS collection letters could be coming, listen carefully. The IRS is cracking down, taking paychecks, freezing bank accounts, revoking passports. That's a fact. But here's what most people don't know. There are official tax relief programs designed to help struggling taxpayers. Programs that could save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief. Optima's award-winning team will fight to protect your paycheck, your passport, and your property. Their tax attorneys and licensed tax professionals will work tirelessly to get you the best deal possible with the IRS. Every day, penalties and interest keep piling up, so don't wait. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Hi, welcome back to the show. Again, it's our 17-year anniversary. It was actually yesterday, but we're counting on it today. And I will say this, just to kind of walk back. I do enjoy coming in here every day and arguing with young Nathan and all that stuff. It's just with all of these football stories that coming and going, all this transfer. How many people you say Oklahoma State's got?
Oklahoma State's got 61 players right now.
Jesus.
Outgoing.
Holy hell. All right, we got Guy. What's going on, Guy? How you doing, buddy?
Well, not too much. I was one of the old-timers on the show. I sit back and I remember when you couldn't even play as a freshman. You're always redshirted.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, and that's something probably Nathan can even wrap his head around, because you come in, you literally had to sit a year. Unless you were phenomenal, like a Herschel Walker or something like that, you didn't play.
Freshmen virtually never did anything for Joe Paterno. I mean, that was unbelievably rare for a freshman to play for Penn State.
And then you sit back now with all this. Let's stop the NIL. It's not name, image, and likeness. It's college. It's pro college.
So let me ask you this, because this is what I don't want to just turn this into a bitch session about college football, because what I'm talking about, and I'm the only person in my own shoes. What I'm talking about for me specifically with what I do on here, talking about Penn State at the depths that we do, I almost feel like we can't do that when players are coming and going left and right. That's where I've always had felt taking comfort in knowing the players, knowing what's going on with the coaches. Mm-hmm. You get into a situation now where players are coming and going here just like they are everywhere else. I don't know that I can do a quality show. I honestly don't.
I agree with you 100%. To me, with this whole thing, my favorite time of the year has always been March Madness. well, you're not going to have March Madness anymore because you're not going to have like the Davidson team that comes up with head Steph Curry and guys that come up with, you know, juniors and seniors going back to back years because they played together. The upsets are gone.
Right. The CJ McCollum at Lehigh. Those guys, they're gone. That if you have CJ McCollum or Steph Curry now, they don't make it. They don't make it to upperclassmen at these schools. They would go get their $3 million somewhere else.
You would never get a team, a lower end team, staying together. But you could still get the Cinderella runs.
You can still get a team.
And I think honestly, with the parity of it as well, I think these top end teams are more vulnerable against those teams as well.
Absolutely.
So I mean, we think about St. Peter's a couple years ago went to the Elite Eight. Yep. I mean, that's crazy.
When you got these teams that play together, basketball is one of the few sports that obviously and anything, but as you get older, you get better.
Yes.
But with basketball being a 5-on-5, just because you're playing, you get better. Just because you're playing against, say, St. Francis, it doesn't mean St. Francis doesn't have the best roster, has better. They can literally have better athletes than some of these freshmen that can't play together.
We saw that with when St. Francis had Isaiah Blackman and Keith Braxton, two seniors who had decided to stay there. They missed out on the NCAA tournament. They lost to Robert Morris, but more so than just that. That's something else that pisses me off about, you know, you look back at everything that happened to St. Francis. I completely understand why they did what they did. To be that small in Division I and having to pay, they couldn't do it. I do completely get why they did it, but I can still hate it, right? Because that's their whole damn identity for the university for the most part.
Going as a 15 or 16 seed, you know, when Isolino took them years back, just to say, hey, look, a little college right up the road from us is playing in the NCAA tournament. Yeah, they may have got beat by 20 points, but they were there.
Yeah. Guy, I appreciate the call, man. We're going to go to Brian. What's going on, Brian?
This is Byron.
Oh, it says Brian on here. What's up with you, Byron? Good to hear from you, buddy. Happy New Year, man.
I don't know. I told her I was trying to calm you down a little bit.
Go ahead, buddy. Try.
Corey, I have not talked to one person that likes athletics that doesn't agree with you on this. I agree 100%. And I'll give you an example. I got to give you an example. You know I'm an FAU basketball season ticket holder at Florida Atlantic. And you know where they were a couple years ago in the Final Four. That team, that group, one went to Arkansas, one went to Florida, one went to Michigan, one went to San Diego State. And guess what? The coach is going against Penn State tonight, and he went to Michigan.
Yep.
You cannot – I said to the guys that I go to the games with, last year we had a 7'1" center freshman. He got better and better. This year he got $2 million, and he's a Texas center. You can't – I don't know if I want to keep getting my tickets anymore because you can't follow a team.
So you'll go to a floor – and Dusty May, by the way, Michigan's number two tonight. They're at Penn State. They're favored by 22.5 points. How about that? So you're watching games. You're watching games at FAU, and you're like, okay, well, this team can be good. What is it you're talking about with fans there? Do they – I ask you a very serious question, Byron. Do they even want the team to be good? Because if they're good, if you're too good, they all leave.
All right, a good example. They've out of their whole team this year, 8 are foreign students. 8 of them came from overseas. Now, 3 of them already, I can tell you, have the potential. They're not going to be there next year. They're not going to be there. 2 of them are too good. I honestly believe that. So why do I want to go buy season tickets again when I don't even know who the team's going to be?
Yeah, Nathan. That's where things are really different. When I was growing up, and college basketball was by far my favorite sport, you always knew who was going to be on the team next year. You knew you were going to lose this guy, and you could follow recruiting. Does it not bother college fans nowadays, especially younger people, that you have no idea who's going to be on the team from year to year?
Well, I think from a college basketball point, no one cares about Penn State college basketball. So in this area, like, they're never – you get that one flash in the pan once a decade that they may make the tournament, and then, you know, you have an NBA player like Pico on your squad. But, you know, I could see as an FAU fan watching that team go to the Final Four with great players on it, Elijah Martin, those guys, and you losing them, yeah, I can see how that'd be very annoying and, you know, makes you wonder, like, do I even want this team to be good? Because everybody's
they're all
going to
be gone. Yeah.
They're all going to be gone then. So, but then from the football perspective, again, Penn State, I guess, is towards that top echelon. So they're oftentimes maybe not have as much turnover as, you know, you might have a quarterback at a lower team like Mestemaker who pops off and then you know he's gone the next year because he's going to get $7, $8 million in the transfer portal.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll get back to the phone calls here in a second.
Hey Steelers fans, Kreider here reminding you to tune in to 96.1 Hank FM for Black and Gold Breakdown every Tuesday night at 5 for an hour of hard-hitting and humorous Steelers coverage. Hort and Corey are back this season to help deliver insight and perspective on every game. Give us a call on the Snare and Associates Mortgage Services hotline at 814-946-0435 and help talk me off the ledge after another disastrous Mike Tomlin decision. Black and Gold Breakdown is presented by Your Cigar Den and Fuente Lounge in State College.
A new year brings the Hollidaysburg Church's free Saturday soup program. Beginning January 10th and continuing until March 21st, hot soup, bread, butter, beverages, and dessert with no cost but a free will offering will be accepted. St. Michael Church at Montgomery and Spruce Streets will be hosting January 10th and 17th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Downtown Hollidaysburg is filled with businesses that provide goods and services you need. Train rides to fine dining, home mortgages to engineers that design and build homes, eye care to eye-catching fireworks. While you're downtown, enjoy the historic architecture of buildings like the courthouse. High school basketball season is happening, and the Hollidaysburg Golden Tigers and Lady Tigers are looking great this year. Come out and support them by attending a home game. Go to the Hollidaysburg Area School District's website to see their schedules. This list of events is brought to you by the U.S. Hotel, Epic Pyrotechnics, Everett Railroad, Ketro Kurtz Travel, Michelle Barnes Optometry, JP Mortgage Lending, Burrow Coffee, Keller Engineers, Ember Aesthetics, and Prime Sirloin Buffet. There's always something happening in Hollidaysburg.
Sorry, I had to take a break there. Byron, call me back. Byron had one other thing that he wanted to say. All right, we got Eric. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, Corey. I just wanted to say you'd certainly be missed, and the show and all us out there that enjoy tuning in, but you've done a great job to take chicken, you know what, and turn it into chicken soup many days.
Some days, and that's the thing. I want to keep coming in here, but the main thing I wanted to get across today is some things are going to have to change. I don't want to come in here and gripe about college athletics every day. Nobody wants to hear that, except for maybe Clarkster.
I'm about to say, how many over the summer, how many times do we talk about money?
And yeah, all the time.
I feel like it's every 3 days.
Right, and I don't want to do that. So I'm going to have to find other things that are enjoyable to talk about other than, quite frankly, just the players or team success or whatever.
I'd like to think that most of the listeners, myself included, would appreciate just having that local flair to talk about things and whatever it is. But, yeah, I'm with you definitely on college football. I'm finding myself, and I never was a huge pro fan, being in this area lifelong, you know, it's always been Penn State and watching how you develop a team, and every 3 to 4 years you were kind of anticipating them being in the running, have a really great team. And now this bit, I was watching something here recently on one of the YouTube channels, and a guy saying, we're going to have to spend $10 or $20 million to get a defense this year. And I'm thinking, this is college. This is how they talk now. It's like, yeah, I'm tuning out. At least NFL's got some more guidelines and stuff. And, still not a big NFL fan, but
I would equate it to this, Eric. Nathan, I don't think I've ever said it this way before. You don't have all this kind of freedom in professional sports anywhere, and yet you have it in college. It's the equivalent of basically letting elementary school kids do any damn thing they want any given day. High school kids can't because they've got to study the right thing. But you can just allow elementary school kids or junior high kids to just walk up and down the road, you know, anytime that they want, in the snow, with trucks going by, you know, just going crazy, throwing rocks at each other, hitting them in the head. Well, why don't they do that? Because there has to be adults in the room to make sure that the elementary school kids don't hurt themselves, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're missing in college athletics. There are no adults in the room, and I believe all these people are hurting themselves. They're getting some more money, but I think the lessons it's teaching everybody are just so completely wrong.
Exactly. That's why I'm saying there needs to be structure. Like, you need to have one person come in and just structure it all. Now, it's easier said than done. There's a lot you got to do with that, but if you get someone in, there are so many people, like, that are giving – even just, like, the college timeline right now. If you – I think Dan Lanning talked about it post-game in his presser, where he laid it out perfect, where the season's done by January 1st and everything is open. The portal would open the next day.
Yeah, be great.
Everything would be okay at that point. It's simple, but there's a lot of hoops you have to jump through just to get to that point.
Clarkster's the one guy that probably does like to hear me complaining about the money as much. What's up, buddy?
You're pulling a Jay Wright.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You're basically doing what these coaches have done. They got out because they can't stand it. The absurdity of a couple of these things is you got to recruit your locker room, okay? You're also begging. These billion endowment schools are begging for NIL money. What's the absurdity of all this? It's just amazing what you see going on. By the way, I think Nebraska man would be offended because he likes to talk about Nebraska. But Congress and the legal system have brought this on. And anything that Congress or government puts their hands on, they screw it up. And this is just another one that they've done. And the colleges are afraid to make them employees because that's going to bring on a lot of issues. 520, not-for-profit, and Title IX, I don't know how they're going to work themselves out of this.
I don't either, man. You mentioned Nebraska man. Nebraska man's coming up here. Nebraska man, what's going on with you, buddy?
Good afternoon, guys. The Clarkster, he brings up some pretty good valid points. But, I am so disgusted right now, Corey, with college football that as being a player, knowing every day what you got to do, what you got to perform to be able to continue to be the player that you want to be. And now they're putting dollar signs in front of these kids. It's no longer a college sport. To me, it's a job. They might as well not even go to school. Just show up during football season, get paid your money, and go. But it's coming to point now about the almighty dollar. What university can come up with the most amount of money? But I hope they can get somebody outside the NCAA to come in here and say, listen, I do agree the college kids should get paid for their sport, but not to jump one year to another to another to another to another. You make it a one-time deal. You leave one school and go to another. You sign that contract. You're there. You can't leave.
Is this coming out of frustration from the Nebraska quarterback situation over the last day, Nebraska man?
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Very,
it's terrible.
Very, very, very much so. That's what makes me more irritated than anything in the world. It's coming now, guys. It's coming down to it's coming down to, regardless of who you are, how good of a quarterback you are. It's coming down to the almighty dollar. They don't give no consideration about the people that were there before who played their hearts. They sweat in everything, their hearts and souls out. And then all of a sudden, they're going to have somebody just walk right in over them and get paid the big bucks to play. I mean, to me, that's not college football. And why the NCAA is letting this to continue to go on the way that it is what the people ought to do. Is boycott the stadiums for one or two games. Then see what happens when the money ain't coming in. What are they going to do then?
Appreciate it, buddy. We're going to take another break. Byron's going to get the last word here. He's got some nice closing thoughts.
Hi, it's Steve Willett inviting you to tune in each morning to the Hank Morning Show. I'm here Monday through Friday, 6 to 10. Lots of fun features like your early morning dose of knowledge in the form of random facts. We've got the daily top five list, stupid news, plus dad joke theater, morning shower thoughts, and not headline news. It's all coming up weekday mornings, 6 to 10.
You're waking up with Steve Willett on 96.1 Hank FM. Here's what's happening.
The first Hollidaysburg Church's Free Soup Saturday of the new year will be January 10th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at St. Michael Church, Montgomery and Spruce Streets. There'll be a selection of homemade soups, bread and butter, dessert, and beverages. A free will donation will be appreciated but not mandatory. Everyone is welcome to attend. Have a nonprofit event? Send it to us 2.5 weeks in advance at the events tab of our station's website.
We play the legends of country.
We have had a really rough time locally. Steve Tannehill passing a few weeks ago. A few days ago, Steve Sheets. Yesterday, Jim Lane. And we opened yesterday's show talking about what Jim meant to this area as a sports writer for a long, long time. Byron wanted to say something about Jim Lane as well. What's up, buddy?
You know, Corey, I happened not to listen yesterday, so I didn't know if you talked about Jim. But I was fortunate enough, right before I came to Florida this year, to go out and visit with Jim. And he was such a pillar of the community, just like Steve Sheets, except in the sports way. You always saw Jimmy everywhere and always had something nice to say to you, always. You know, when I lost my daughter, every time I saw him, oh, I feel so bad. And same thing when he lost his wife. They were a terrific pair. And I don't know if Jimmy could ever be replaced in this area. He was always so great to everybody.
What we talked about, yesterday, Byron, I mentioned this to Nathan, is, you know, nowadays you can get your sports news anywhere, anyhow, at the, you know, in the blink of an eye. But for most of, you know, most people's lives, the only way you could get your news was in the daily newspaper. That's just all there was. Newspapers were generally way ahead of TV stations. And so if you grew up with a local sports writer like a Jim Lane, that's who you're counting on for your news on a given day, not, you know, doing a quick search on the internet and finding out in 5 seconds. You want to talk about a very different life that people live now. Because nobody really has to rely on the newspaper for information much anymore.
It was really a great guy. And what can I say? I wish, hopefully, we read a great article about him in the Altoona Mirror this time. I would hope so. And I want to know who's going to do his Father's Day article that he did every year.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it, Byron. 946-04. Well, we're out of time anyway. So, actually, we've got the Black and Gold Breakdown coming up here in 1 minute.
Lots to talk about, man.
Holy cow. I still am not sure if winning that game was the best thing for the Steelers. How do you fall on that?
I'm still just blinders on, move forward. You're in the playoffs. Maybe something happens. Maybe Aaron Rodgers leads into the promised land.
If they win, Mike Tomlin's going to be there for 15 more years.
Give him the contract already.
All right, we'll be back here in a few minutes.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring Altoona.